Welcome to this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon joins me from InScreen Media as always. Hi there, Colin. How are you?
Hey, Will. I'm delighted to not be traveling very much at the moment, which is great. Being at home here in sunny California is just a nice way to spend the summer.
Absolutely. And I'm still trying to get my nerves settled down because I saw Dunkirk last night. And if any of our listeners have seen that, they know how relentlessly terrifying the movie is. And I highly, highly recommend it. But that is off subject. Today, we want to talk about Comcast's Q2 results, which were just announced this morning. We're recording on Thursday. We also want to talk about AT&T's results, which were announced earlier this week, and the impact that DirecTV Now is having on that business and, more broadly, I would argue, on the video business in general. So you are going to get us started with Comcast. So go for it.
I certainly will. And they had a great quarter. Brian Roberts on the call this morning was just ebullient, I think it's fair to say. He's just very impressed with the way all of his businesses are executing, and they are executing very well, certainly from a financial standpoint. Big increases in overall revenue, a big increase at NBCU, up 17% revenue, broadband up 9%, video up 4%. Just really outstanding performance. Big gains in broadband subs, continuing to pick up a lot of broadband subs, up 5.5%. To 25 million. I think there were a couple of things that didn't look so good. One of the things that I do is I track pretty closely the change in subs. And what's been happening with Comcast is X1 has really done a great job in reversing a really long-term decline in its video business. So if you go back and you look over the last few years, what you see in Q2 is you see actually diminishing losses. They had some very, very bad quarters, bad Q2s in the past. So Q2 2014, the company lost 144,000 video subscribers. The year after that, 69,000. Last year, they cut it to 4,000. So you can definitely see a strong trend. And I was expecting them actually to have a positive Q2. Well, they didn't have that. They actually, the losses ticked up to 34,000, which I think was a bit of a surprise for me, because one of the things that we're seeing, of course, is we're continuing to see subs leave satellite, particularly, and some telcos. And I was expecting to see more of those subs move over to Comcast X1, which is such a great experience, as we've talked about in the past. And this seems to indicate to me that not as many of those subs are doing that as I would have expected. And I think one of the problems, we've talked about this problem before, Will, and I cranked the handle this morning on the numbers. And one of the problems is just it's an affordability issue. The average revenue per unit for video went up 3.2% to $85.70 a month. And inflation for the whole of last year was, actually the inflation through June 2017 was 1.6%. So literally Comcast is increasing the price of their video at twice the inflation rate. We know what that means, of course. That means we have to take more of our money from somewhere else to continue to pay for our Comcast video services. But you know that the terrible thing here is that they're not increasing the rates as fast as they're seeing the license content fees go up. They went up 14% year over year. Again, another big increase, now represent 56.8% of video ARPU. So well over half of the money that you pay now for pay television is going straight through to the license providers. So, you know, there's good news and bad news. Lots of good news, that's for sure. But the video business, Comcast video business, continues to look, I think, less attractive to them, more expensive to consumers, and I think one of its really challenged businesses. So what's your take?
So, I mean, a lot of what you say, I agree with. There's certainly no question, and it's been a widely understood issue in the pay TV industry, that all the operators are suffering, margin erosion due to the ever escalating affiliate fees that they're paying for cable networks and the retransmission consent fees that they're paying for the broadcast networks. And it's been an ongoing issue for the industry, and there's just no way around it. You can cut every cost down to the bone in terms of running the business, but if the biggest line item that you have for an operator, which is their programming cost, continues to go up at double-digit year-over-year percentages, like you just said with Comcast, it's awfully hard to protect your margin at the end of the day. So that's a tough one. And, you know, I think that to some extent, what we're seeing now with the advent of skinny bundles and other things happening in the industry that are kind of hammering on these cable networks and broadcast networks, reflects the operators basically all out attempt to get those costs under control. So that's a tough one. Just coming back to, the video subscriber business, and you and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. And my interpretation is a little bit that, like, we have a sort of glasses half full versus glasses half empty kind of perspective on Comcast video subs. You're absolutely right that, through last year's Q2, they were trending better and better, losing 4K video subs a year ago, now bumping back up to 34K loss in video subs. But I guess one thing that I would point out, at a risk of sounding sort of like a Comcast defender, is that, if you look back over the past four quarters, and just take one reference point, over the last four quarters, AT&T in its total video business, which includes UVerse, DirecTV, and now DirecTV Now, if you look back over those past four quarters, they've lost 123,000 subscribers. But if you add back the 491,000 subscribers that DirecTV Now has added in just the last three quarters, then net AT&T has lost 368,000 video subscribers in its core UVerse and DirecTV video businesses over the past four quarters. I would venture to say that every large operator is negative video growth in the last four quarters, every one of them. AT&T, Dish are two probably examples of being the worst. But by contrast, over the last four quarters, Comcast has actually added 120,000 residential video subscribers. I mean, they are in such their own league when it comes to video subscriber performance over the last year. It's not even funny. I mean, it's just absolutely remarkable that they have been able to gain video subs in the last year, given the massive, massive headwinds that are blowing in the entire industry's face. So I sort of look at it as, yes, absolutely, Q2 17 did not continue trending like the past three quarters. And wouldn't it have been wonderful if they had actually gained subscribers? If they had gained subscribers, I feel like it's almost equivalent to, waking up tomorrow morning and seeing that the sky is green. That's how, absurdly unique it would have been if they would have been able to pull that off in the seasonally softest quarter of the year that the pay TV industry has always experienced. So I guess I'm not like super hung up on it. I look at back more over the last four quarters. I also look at how X1 is now in 55% of homes. I also look at how they're now going to launch this instant video service, their kind of version of a skinny bundle sometime in Q3, which will have the same, will sort of trend along having the same impact as a save solution for them, like DirecTV Now is doing for AT&T, which we'll talk about more in a minute. And I still feel like relatively positive about where Comcast stands in the video business, despite everything.
Yeah, I think, I certainly hear what you're saying, Will. But, the thing for me is this affordability issue, I think, is really a problem that just will not go away. Yeah. And I guess what I'm seeing in the numbers, what I see in the trends, sort of tell me that actually this renaissance could be flattening out. It's pretty early to say that based on Q2, but I'm expecting it to flatten out. So I guess we will see if that actually does continue. If they continue the way they have been headed, they should still be positive on this year, 2017, from the point of view of growth. But you know, if the trend that we see starting this quarter continues, then I don't know. Maybe they could head south again. I'm very interested to see what they do with instant TV. I think the industry recognizes that one of the core groups that is bailing, moving off and doing something else, is the younger groups, the millennials, particularly the younger millennials. The one thing they do want is they want broadband, and Comcast, Brian Roberts said that they would have gig broadband pretty much rolled out across their footprint in short order here. That is pretty compelling. So people are still going to come for that. Instant TV is something that they can offer. They're saying the rumor is that it's going to be $15 a month. It's going to be month to month. It won't require any hardware in the home. You can just use this on your device. So it's all of the earmarks of the services that people are finding online today. It should be particularly appealing to that younger group when they come and get broadband from Comcast, which they likely will. But the only hesitation I have with this, Will, is I'm just not sure many of those millennials want television like that at all. And if you look at the TV viewing in the 18 to 24 year olds in the between Q1 2016 and Q1 2017, it's down 11%, down 10% in the older millennials, 25 to 34. I think they're watching about 2 hours a day, which is well under half what most other age groups are watching of television. So I just wonder if they want this service at all. But that said, you know, if Comcast has the right to do it, why not give it a spin and see if they can translate some of those broadband customers into instant TV customers?
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple responses there, Colin. First of all, I completely agree with you that it is uncertain at this point whether the tick up in losses in Q2 for Comcast represent, you know, sort of the new trend line for them, that they sort of got all the improvement that they could in the last couple of years, and now they're going to start reversing and going negative like all the other big operators. Even if it's less negative, it's still, you know, being negative. Although I think you're saying that it's still quite possible that they could be positive for the year, which again is like, you know, a mind-boggling, you know, outcome given all the headwinds that the business faces and the performance of all the other big operators.
You bet.
So I think that story is still, you know, unfolding, as you rightly said. The other point that I would make is that, you know, when you talk about the millennials, and that's no secret, the data that you just shared certainly supports what everybody believes, that millennials are kind of the first and most, you know, heavily skewed toward falling out of the pay TV, you know, world. You know, I think that the fact that we've now got, give or take, 2.5-3 million skinny bundle subscribers across all the operators, all the skinny bundle operators, it says something about what role a lower priced, you know, sort of bare bones-ish video service can still play in people's lives. And, you know, far be it for me, who's like one of the biggest skinny bundle skeptics, you know, on the face of the earth.
Yeah, isn't that true?
To concede that skinny bundles could play a role. But I think, and maybe we could just transition now into talking about AT&T's results, I think that AT&T's Q2 results really do show that deeply discounted enough, and in, you know, at least above a sort of, you know, baseline quality bar, skinny bundles can actually provide a real value when presented in a bundled scenario. And, you know, what we see from AT&T is an all-out push to preserve their wireless business in the face of absolutely relentlessly intense competition in wireless. We see video offers, you know, offers that basically use video as bait to get wireless subscribers and retain them across all four of the big mobile carriers in the U.S. AT&T is doing that very aggressively itself by offering basically a $25 reduction in price if you take the AT&T unlimited wireless service. So that in effect brings the DirecTV Now bundle down from $35 a month to $10 a month, all right? And AT&T's results in Q2 really do, I think, speak to how successful that strategy has been. Now, whether it's ultimately a successful strategy to, you know, deeply discount a video service, use it as bait, you know, devalue it on its own merits, et cetera, whether that long term is the right thing to do is a whole nother question. But short term, I think what AT&T is proving is that, yes, even though millennials may be sort of tuning out of pay TV and so forth, if you put a low cost enough service in front of them and it has decent enough value and you bundle it with something else that they really do value, like an unlimited mobile service, there are people that are going to bite on that offer. And that's really the story of AT&T's Q2 17 performance. You know, they are now up to about 500,000 DirecTV Now subscribers. They added 152,000 in Q2. 50% of those DirecTV Now subs that they added were subs that came as part of a bundle. So in other words, not standalone, but were bundled with other AT&T services. Obviously, mobile being that one. The vast majority of DirecTV Now, not over 50%, but the vast majority of DirecTV Now subscribers are bundled with wireless, just to be clear. So that's the offer that they're putting in front of people. And it's starting to have some effect. And sort of to your point about Comcast launching Instant, it's absolutely the right strategy for them because it gives them something to respond to, you know, subscribers when they call and say, I'm dropping. It's just too expensive. Now they have a bona fide save strategy where they can say, well, have you thought about our Instant service that includes X number of channels and so forth and so on? Try it for 3 months. They're also going to, you know, they're also launching their own mobile service. So now they've got a quad play they can put in front of people that includes mobile, landline, broadband, and this sort of an Instant service. So I guess what I would say is that the jury is still very much out on how video unfolds for Comcast, because we're starting to see AT&T use skinny bundles as a part of a bundling strategy very effectively.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Will, is this. I feel like this is sort of a hint as to a really fundamental shift in the business of pay television, and that actually, I started to see that's been very much present in Europe, I think, for quite some time, where, for example, in France, it was very, very common to see TV almost just thrown in with a phone and a broadband bundle, very, very cheaply dropped into a triple play bundle. And used as a retention tool more than a fundamental driver. So we could be shifting more towards the European model. But it also speaks, I think, pretty interestingly to the fact that the way we've always thought about SVOD, and particularly services like Netflix and Amazon, as being augmentations to a pay television service. And I think for a certain segment of the population, that's changing now. Mm-hmm. And the way they think about pay television is more like, well, you know, I'm spending most of my time on SVOD, but it's nice to occasionally watch a local ball game catch up with the local news on TV. So, yeah, you know, is it worth $15 or $20 to me? Yeah, it's probably worth that to me, so I'm going to throw that in. But really, my main services now are SVOD services like Netflix. I'm not saying that that's everybody. Clearly, it isn't. There's still a lot of people who are very bought into pay TV and spend a lot of time watching traditional TV. But it seems to me like the segment that I talked about, that where it's not the primary service and where actually pay TV augments the online experience, I think that could be a very much a growing segment, and that could be a real area where instant TV can really help Comcast with that particular group.
Right. I think that's a great point, Colin. And you know, we're always looking to kind of other geographies that could provide a roadmap for what's happening here in the U.S. But let me just also kind of extend the argument even further that if video ends up being like a low-cost add-on, as you kind of just described it, $10, $15 a month type of thing, then that puts even more pressure on the operator's margins, which means in turn they're going back to the broadcasting cable networks to reduce their affiliate fees to try to relieve the margin pressure that they feel due to the discounting. And, you know, as that sort of cost pressure rolls further down into the networks and then ultimately into the, you know, what they can pay for original programming and the need to rely even more on advertising and reduce their original programming budgets, et cetera, that while all that is happening in the industry, we see Amazon and Netflix spending even more on original content. And, you know, one area that I feel like could end up being a very dangerous corner that the pay TV industry could paint itself into is if they go down this road of like video becoming sort of an add-on like we're describing, where there's virtually no margin or it's even upside down the business, like AT&T DirecTV Now is obviously upside down for the company already when they're only making $10 a month and probably spending at least 25 or 30 a month on programming. All of that to me leads to a company like Amazon, which survives on low margins and knows how to cross sell, ultimately coming out smelling sweet as a rose here. They're ultimately going to be the ones that come in to this low margin environment, deliver a better service for a comparable price to, you know, the 80 million people that already have Prime. And that's going to be the ultimate final nail in the coffin, almost like we're seeing with them coming in and buying Whole Foods, being a little bit of the final nail in the coffin for the supermarket industry. So that's, I feel like, ultimately where this road could take us, which I think is an extremely scary scenario for the pay TV industry and why AT&T's willingness to be so aggressive in discounting DirecTV Now for its bundled mobile subscribers is such an absolutely perilous move for the industry to be taking.
Yeah, I certainly hear you, Will, and I really hope that we're not going in that direction. Yeah. I certainly don't want to see Amazon in charge of how we buy buy our entertainment. But I do want to.
We already buy, so what's the difference?
this is true. But I do want. There was one thing just before we go, because I know we're getting near the end of our time here. But one thing that Brian Roberts did slip into the conversation with the analysts at the earnings call was he mentioned, just in passing, that he didn't like skinny bundle business. He thought it wasn't a good business, and clearly the margins are way, way lower than Comcast likes in businesses that it plays in a big way. But he mentioned that NBC actually does better, slightly better, from the money that it gets from skinny bundles than it does from paid television. And that was interesting. That means that the content providers are getting slightly more money from those skinny bundle providers, which means their margins are even worse. But more importantly, it emboldens them so that they now believe they do not need to cut rates at all in the traditional pay TV bundle. I think the chances of somebody like Comcast or Time Warner, well, excuse me, there's no more Time Warner, but somebody like Charter getting relief on the increase in license fees is practically zero, Will, because they don't feel like they have to. They feel like they have other options now where they can continue to get the increases that they're looking for and continue to reach their customers. So, I don't see any relief in the increase in fees anytime soon.
All right. Well, you know, lots of thoughts on that question too, Colin, but we want to be respectful of our sort of time limit for our podcast. So why don't we agree that we'll pick that topic up and others in future podcasts to come?
You bet we will.
All right, absolutely. Great chatting, great podcast. And thanks everybody for listening in on this week's version of our Video News and Screen Media podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.